You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of October 25th, 2023. And Mario is a Strand game?
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Chester.
And I'm George Abor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And it's a biggie this week.
One of the biggest.
A hefty boy, just like the elephants in the video game. This podcast is going to be a hefty one.
There's a lot of hefty Mario Wonder. I was going to say, Spider-Man is hefty and came out the exact same day.
Man, what a bounty this year has been. I mean, just looking back on it, just like high quality from basically start to finish. Just kind of incredible.
But at this point, I feel like I do after a Thanksgiving meal. Like, I feel bloated. With video games.
Regretful and bloated.
If you can overeat video games, I have done that this year.
Yeah, I mean, we're neither of us have played Spider-Man yet, but that's definitely up in the queue. But we have played a good chunk of Super Mario Wonder, and we're going to talk about first impressions this week.
Let's talk about the strandness of it first off, because yeah. That was what I was teasing in
friends,
the beginning.
Friends, I am happy to inform you that Super Mario Brothers Wonder is a strand game.
Dude, this is fucking buck wild, because so you were telling me before we were recording that you almost texted me.
Yeah.
I assume like this is a strand game.
Yes, I was right? going to say alert.
I almost did the exact same thing to you, where I was like, because when I realized it, I was like, holy fuck, and I laughed out loud. I was like, I cannot believe the timeline we're in. And then yesterday, our mutual friend Nate texted me. He was like, something about like this Mario game is a strand game. And I was like, it boggles my mind. Like, I could not believe it when it happened. So from a strand game perspective, just to explain it for anyone who's not been playing Super Mario Brothers Wonder, this has... I don't even know what you'd call it anymore. Like, besides, I feel like strand game encapsulates so much, but
I mean, if you're not getting on the strand game nomenclature, get with the times.
Get with it. What are you doing?
Hideo-san has improved our lives with this.
Go listen to our like 5-part debrief of Death Stranding, but it is essentially asynchronous multiplayer components of which when you're playing in a level and you're playing online, there are a bunch of sort of shadow players playing along with you. You can see their achievements, like as they achieve certain things, like completing the level, for example. You can also drop a standee, and they can drop a standee in the level. And if anyone dies, they can touch someone's standee and come back into the game. Or you can pop them and bring them back into your game. Kind of like the way that they've done some of the like co-op bubble mechanics for couch co-op. But now online.
This is an evolution of the bubble mechanic that has been in Mario for some time now. But like you said, there's these like cardboard standees that you can place in the level with like funny poses on them. Or you as someone, as the shadow character or someone else's shadow character can unbubble you, basically.
But it is so much deeper because the way that it is experienced is far more one-to-one, right? Like when you are in a level, you are in that level with other people. It's not like they just drop a standee and they haven't played for 6 hours. Like they're probably in that level at approximately the same time you are.
Yep.
And it means that you can see them find creative solutions to puzzles.
Yeah.
You can see them, at times I've seen people unlock a wonder that I didn't know was there.
Yes.
And now I have to puzzle out, okay, how do I get to where I saw where they were, or I saw them get a wonder, but I don't see it like a wonder seed there. So what is happening here, right? They can also leave their standee on blocks that are invisible in your world. So give you a little clue. Okay, there's a hidden block here. I find it staggering how much it actually does feel strandy in a way as you're playing these levels, right? Like it feels like we're fucking in this together, you know. There have been times where I've been watching someone play and I'll like sit and wait on a spot that I found a hidden block so they see it, right? I drop my standees there strategically as well. I don't know how many times have you encountered it, but sometimes people will die and you'll see like a tiny little floating ghost Luigi being like, help me, help me, help me, and you have to like pop them to save them, right? And it feels great doing so. And man, like, it just, what fucking timeline are we in?
I know.
Right? That like the strand, something that, you know, and maybe it appeared beforehand, but in my mind, it was a Souls invention that sort of spread, mastered in Death Stranding to show like what this can really be at any level, right? Because to me, what Death Stranding did and Kojima, by calling it a Strand game, was to take that idea of asynchronous temporary connections across thresholds and make it explicitly part of the story.
Yes.
And part of the meaning of that story.
Yep.
And showcase how you can take that simple idea and apply it in a variety of different ways. It doesn't just have to be, I'm leaving messages on the ground. You can you can make Strand-like elements in almost any game. Mm-hmm. The fact that we live in a timeline where Nintendo, of all people, sees that and says, that makes sense, let's do it, put it into a Mario game, and it fucking works, and honestly, I think it works fucking great, is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I was glad that I didn't really, other than following this game passively when they announced it, I didn't really follow much of the marketing leading up to the release, and I'm so pleased that I didn't, because...
I had no idea.
No, I knew there was going to be local multiplayer, because there always is in these games, but then when I finally got to one of the, where they introduced the multiplayer, it was just this, it's also just, it's mind-blowing, but in a very, like, Nintendo pleasant way, where they just kind of introduce it. They're like, yeah, you can meet friends, and your friends will run around the world, too, and you can help each other. And and in my mind, I'm like, you've actually just changed, you've made a fundamental change to Super Mario, the franchise, and you're just kind of throwing it off like, anyway, we thought this was a good idea. I'm like, this is a revolution.
100% agreed. It's a revolution. It's like, oh, and by the way, multiple dimensions exist on top of each other.
Anyway, you know, bye, like, have fun.
it's such a bizarre, it's so bizarre. And now, like, again, it opens up my mind, because this is unlocked in Nintendo... And again, it's Nintendo, so no predictions are so hard to do with anything Nintendo. Yeah. But theoretically, there could be Strand elements in the next Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
There could be Strand elements in the next, you know, whatever, like Metroid game. Like the can has been opened, right? Pandora's box has been opened in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reassembling the multiverse at this point. This is just like this could be an element in any game now going forward. And I agree with you. I think it is actually very, it's very well implemented, because it's not like Death Stranding in that it's far less complex, like it's far less involved, but what they do is very direct and cohesive, and the elements that they tend to put in there work very well together and work and are an extension of the game as it exists as well. It's just adding another layer to that, the same set of mechanics, which I like quite a bit. And it's been relatively seamless too. Like that was the other kind of surprising thing.
Yep.
I mean, there have been times where, like you, I was like, oh, I didn't realize that pipe led you into the background, but I see a standee back there. Yep. And so I know I must be able to get back there somehow. And so let me start testing pipes.
Yeah. It is, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, at the end of the year, but it's really elegant, like, in terms of a solution. When the game first started, and it's like, hey, do you want to be Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, Toad, or, like, 17 other people? I was like, this is weird. Like, why would I want to be Nabbit, of all people? Like, bizarre. And then it makes sense that we need a lot of standees and playable characters so that you can have a lot of people join your world and each be unique, right? And I think that's a really elegant solution. The standees are cool. You can buy them. They add a little degree of a sort of individual charm. Yep. And despite there potentially being quite a few people in your world, it never feels like the screen is cluttered. I don't have any readability problems, at least thus far. I mean, maybe I'd be curious if you found any readability issues with multiplayer or asynchronous online multiplayer later on. But to me, it just feels like a really elegant integration of those Strand ideas into the Mario game.
It's really cool. And even I think it's a combination of a lot of the stuff that has been worked on in this realm for a while. And some of it is just kind of simply for, it's simply for aesthetic's sake, where like the overworld, when there's people running around in the overworld, you're not really doing anything together. It's just kind of fun to see who else is playing.
Yeah, totally.
So, I mean, there's also just part of like, oh, this is just the texture of this game, where they decided that this was going to be a significant portion of the game. And then the other wild thing is, it's like, it's totally opt-in. I mean, you don't even need to do it. Whereas if you didn't partake in the Strand elements in Death Stranding, I would argue that you're missing out a significant portion of the game and you're probably getting a poor experience. But like,
yeah,
you know, it's totally additive and I think you're getting a better experience. But it's not like if you play these levels by themselves, they don't work or something. And so I don't know. It's just kind of they just kind of throw it in there and pretend like, oh, this is normal. And my brain is melting when I'm seeing all this stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. I hope that at the end of the game, they're like, hey, do you want to delete your save file in order to like give a one up to everyone in your world?
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, that stuff I'm enjoying quite a bit. And it's just a different way of doing multiplayer. And I mean, this goes into, I think we'll talk, I want to talk a lot about the mechanics and I'm interested in, and I think this game addresses a lot of things that we've been talking about in the Mario series for a long time. And I actually kind of want to run through them a little bit.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Please escort us through your list.
So I am going to posit a, I'm going to posit a thesis here. Okay. You know, like the new Super Mario Brothers series, you know, new Super Mario Brothers on the DS, and then they did Wii U, all of that stuff. That for a long time, that was the Mario design philosophy and aesthetic.
Yep.
And my thesis for this game is this is like the they're undoing the new Super Mario Brothers stuff.
It's like a retcon.
Kind of. I mean, even I would say it's even more aggressive. It's less of a retcon and more of a response to be like, we're actually going to dismantle major parts of that thing, which I find pretty interesting. And yeah. I think one of the things, the simplest thing, but also the one of the most meaningful things that jumped out at me was, have you noticed, actually, have you played this multiplayer?
No, not yet.
There is no collision.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So very similar to the asynchronous, no ghosts. Correct. Interesting. It's funny because that has always been kind of a pain point because sometimes you'll be trying to share the platform and it's a struggle with the camera when you're, you know, you can't be on the same block and so you're on different sections of the map.
Right.
Okay, interesting.
So there's no collision anymore. When you get an item, you
both get it.
The person that gets the item freezes, but the game doesn't freeze. So know how like you would get hit or you'd grab an item and everything would kind of like stop for the 1 second when you do the power up and then you kind of start again. Or if you die, the whole screen stops while the person falls down and then the screen starts again.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore. So the game is just fluid the whole time. Even if a player is doing something that might individually pause them, it doesn't actually stop the world.
Right, so that you can keep playing without that interruption. You can
just keep going, and if you're in mid-jump, you'll just continue that jump versus kind of pausing in the air and then continuing, like, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, that's huge. You can't pick each other up anymore. Like, so there's no picking up and throwing and
or interesting. Man, I actually always really liked that. Although, I guess it could be obnoxious, but I also found, like, that was kind of a cool solution sometimes to just pick someone up.
So the thing that has replaced that is if you play as Yoshi.
Yoshi or Nabbit, right?
Well, if you play specifically as a Yoshi, someone can ride on you.
What? That is so cool. I didn't know that.
Yoshi. Only Yoshi. And so and you have to be playing with another person.
So in the base game, when you first start, it says that Yoshis and Nabbits can't take damage.
Yeah.
But they don't get power-ups.
Right.
Is that true in co-op as well?
It's all the same. So like that's true. But Yoshis can eat enemies and spit them out and, you know, do Yoshi stuff.
So you basically have a constant ability there. Does Nabbit have any abilities? Also, who's Nabbit?
Nabbit was introduced in what I think New Super Mario Brothers Wii U or something like. I forget. It's this weird little rabbit freak.
He looks like the Hamburglar or something.
Yeah, there's Hamburglar vibes there for sure. But I actually don't know how Nabbit functions in Wonder, but in previous games, Nabbit functioned similarly, which Nabbit was invincible and you couldn't power Nabbit up, but you wouldn't take damage. And there was some other like coin bonuses and other stuff.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So there's like a secondary. That's cool. I didn't realize that. I love that you can ride a Yoshi as your solution there. That's super awesome.
So, I mean, the whole thing around, you know, Super Mario Brothers, the new Super Mario Brothers stuff was, it's pure chaos because you're always bumping into each other, jumping on, you know, all the number of times when someone jumps, but you jump on their head to bounce yourself up, all of that stuff. Like,
they and walk, you could play like four players back. And it was chaos.
Total chaos. Interesting. And now it's still chaos because there are some things where the thing that they replaced it with was the camera is tied to basically the leader of the multiplayer pack. So if you have touched the flagpole, the highest part of the flagpole, you become the leader. And then the camera follows you. And so no one else can influence the camera. So unlike in, you know, some of those other Super Mario Brothers where like you'd kind of be fighting back and forth. One person's on one side of the screen. The other person is on the other side. Like camera just follows the other one unapologetically. No regard whatsoever given to the player who's not the lead character.
I wonder if there's a sense of competition that was built for, such that whoever's the lead is basically the pace setter, like in a race.
Yeah, it's exactly that, because you're setting the pace and because the other player can't go forward either. If you choose not to go forward, then that person's just stuck to wherever you are. So, again, like quite different from a lot of the other Mario games that have been going on. And it's because that stuff was so core to the new Super Mario. Whether you loved it or you hated it, that stuff was included purposefully. And now they've basically unwound the whole thing and kind of jettisoned it, which is kind of shocking to me in a 2D Mario space. Like this truly is a new 2D Mario franchise because it's abandoned all of those mechanics.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Can you ride Yoshi as just like a big old elephant?
Yes.
Nice.
But Yoshi is like squatting, like just the elephant.
It's like, what are you doing to me, Mario?
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of things that they, and then not only that, the other thing that I realized was that they also introduced loadouts into this game.
Yeah, that, so again, that's another element where I'm like, what is going on here? Because I'm just not used to Mario cribbing so clearly from other genres.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And maybe I'm sure that there's been pieces here and there, certainly when they venture into 3D or, you know, like various versions where they're, you know, some of the worlds are like topping through, you know, what is it? Not galaxies, where you're just like hopping to different planets and stuff, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Well, I mean, Mario Galaxy was like the progenitor of a lot of that stuff where like, some of the stuff around the edges of this game is very clearly influenced by whatever has taken hold in terms of design conventions.
Yeah, so the badge system, which I think is what you're alluding to, right? Like you can go into any world with a particular badge and that augments your abilities.
Yeah.
It is fascinating to me because it's not just simple small ones, right? Like I think the first one you get is the ability to glide, and that feels okay, that's easy.
Yeah, there's pretty much always in plenty useful. Of Mario games.
But they add one later on that's like you jump higher and farther and hang in the air briefly. That to me fundamentally changes how you navigate a space to the point where I didn't want it because I was like, I'm not used to this. Get me off this ride. The ability to stick to a wall and then do one single bounce upward is really cool. But there's also the badge that I think there's a badge that gets you more coins, and there's another badge that allows you to, not by choice, I think it's randomly spawns blocks in the world.
Oh, yeah. It basically just puts it puts blocks in helpful spaces.
Yes. Yeah. But it's not super clear, and you don't activate it, right? Like, all of these things, again, what boggles my mind so much is I'm going from Lies of P, where I'm like, okay, what amulets am I going to use going into this battle? And into Mario.
Yep.
And there's a fucking through line here, you know? There's strand elements. I mean, I guess Lies of P doesn't have as many strand elements, funnily enough. Yeah. But there are elements there where I'm recognizing this from other genres that I just, in my mind, I have no place in Mario. But again, I think it works really well. I love the idea of being able to augment. And I'm curious, in co-op, can each of you have a different badge?
It's one badge for the whole party.
Oh, that's a shame. That feels like that could have been really cool.
It is. I was thinking about whether... I was just thinking about the feasibility of it, like how they would implement it, or like maybe every person picks their loadout or something. But yeah, I mean, we're having these conversations, like I'm playing with Sam and we're like, well, we're pretty sure this is going to be a water level. So we should probably pick the the dolphin badge because it lets you have another
swim. The water dash.
You know, yeah.
Fucking water levels, dude. Never again. Can we stop making water levels World 2?
I mean, it's just, it's, I've never had like a loadout conversation in a Mario game before. And it was just, again, they just kind of toss it in there where it's like, oh yeah, these badges, you know, depending on what you might want to do, you can just choose one, but don't stress. We can even suggest one if you want. And then they send you, and I'm like, man, this is a fundamental change to this entire series. And
fundamental. And yeah.
We're just watching it unfold.
And again, you are, like exactly what you were describing. There's a new thought process that you go into that you've never brought into a Mario world before, right? Of like, what is going to be useful? There are times even where a couple of times I missed a Wonder Seed, and my first thought was, well, I wonder if it'd be easier if I brought in a different badge.
Yes, yep.
You know? And it's just, it's such a wild way of thinking about it because you're adding a degree that I haven't seen before of playing when you're outside of the specific space of that world, right?
Yes.
Like you are planning before you ever get into it, where traditionally it's all experience. It's all vibes. It's all Hamburglar vibes, you know?
Actually, that's you're spot on. I mean, this is the more so than in any other Super Mario game. This game now has like strategy elements on top of it. Like there's a meta strategy versus like Mario has always been the quintessential action game where there's nothing in it between levels. You're just in a level or you're not. And now all of a sudden they're introducing these small things where it's like, oh, I'm making gameplay decisions outside of the level.
Yeah. And you can specifically get badges through badge challenges, which are their own levels. And so now I'm entering like the new worlds and I'm honing in. Okay, what's the badge, right? I want to unlock my badge first because it just gives me more options to use in that sequence.
Yep.
Or buying a badge from one of the sort of salespeople that sells them for whatever bits your doodads you're selling.
Oh man, that's it's just they've done this in Mario games before, but like the currency, like I've been playing on my own profile, but then I've been playing with Sam on another profile, and you can actually purchase some badges before you get them in or like alternatively, like you don't have to get them.
Oh, before the challenge.
Yeah. Like I think we purchased the secret block one, and I'm almost certain I got the secret block one from a level when I was playing it. So
there's
a little bit of kind of, there's a little bit of variety in terms of when you could be unlocking things or when you could be getting things, or maybe you need something and you can't finish a level. And instead of having to beat one, you can go buy something and then get around it that way.
You know, again, one of the things that I really like about it is for the most part, it's especially those earlier levels, like all classic Mario games, it feels like a game for a younger audience.
Yeah.
And I think in many real ways, if you are a young player, and you're experiencing this, and this is your first taste of a strand game, right? Or your first taste of like strategic planning in advance of going into a levels, not unlike something you're doing in fucking Armored Core. You know what I mean?
Know.
Like there is a sort of game learning that is going to translate into other titles in a way that hasn't been the case with Mario before. And that's such a cool idea, you know?
There's just a lot of, this game feels uniquely, it feels uniquely modern. Like this feels like kind of a jump forward. Like I don't know what team designed this inside of Nintendo, but like this team seems like they're more like of the world, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Like it seems like this team took a look at things, even something small where they give a difficulty rating to all the levels.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, is that new? 5-star difficulty rating or versus a 2-star, and I mean even that is a quite unusual thing for a Super Mario game.
I didn't realize that. I assumed that was just something that we've had for a long time, but yeah, good point.
Yeah, I mean it's just and for the most part I think they're pretty spot on. I mean Sam and I were doing one that was like a 5-star difficulty and it was like to your point, we changed the badge that we were on, we thought about it a different way, we decided. We knew that, oh, okay, we need to get the Wonder Seed. We need to do this jump early or else we'll be on the wrong track and we'll never be able to get back to the Wonder Seed.
Yep.
And it's just like rewards multiple playthroughs of like trying to get it. I mean, it was just a different type of thinking. And then in the game, the platforming is as strong as it's ever been, maybe stronger. Like I think this game plays extremely well, but then you have this thing on top of it that's going on.
Yeah, it's wild. Do you think that this is kind of an outlier, though? Because my one thought would be, is the analogy the same as sort of unlocking the Wonder Seeds, right? Like, you're playing a normal Mario World, and then you're taking a brief break into something totally wacky, right? Yeah. Like, is that the metaphor here, where the next 2D Mario game is going to be more of a return to form, and this was the sort of weird, wacky one? Because there is, even aesthetically, something off about this game, right? Like, it feels different. It feels fantastical in a way that even the normally fantastical 2D Mario games are, but not quite to this degree. And certainly when you get those Wonder Seeds, right? And the whole world becomes super weird. It's like, you know, I'm playing as Daisy, and Daisy just starts like tripping balls, and all of a sudden she's turned into like a big fluffy cloud block that's moving around, you know, or like the world's upside down. Or one that I thought was really cool was the 2D world becomes top down.
Oh my God.
And you're like,
me and Sam basically lost our minds when that happened. Like,
it took me like a full 20 seconds to realize what was happening. I thought I just could fly before I was like, wait a second, I'm looking down on Daisy.
Yeah.
This seems so weird to say about like a child game like this, right? Or a Mario game in particular, but it feels kind of transgressive, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's kind of the. And I think Super Mario they've never been afraid in the Mario games, whether it's Galaxy or Super Mario 3D World or even Mario Odyssey, where they play with so many different gameplay mechanics and, you know, clever tricks and all of that stuff. But the game was never necessarily designed around them. But this game is explicitly designed around something weird is going to happen in every level.
Yes. Yeah.
And you don't know what it's going to be. And I mean, I'm about three or so worlds in, and we're just kind of, you know, jumping around from level to level, but it's just, you really don't know what's, and some of them are more blasé than others. And some of them are like, we got a Wonder Seed that turned us into a giant version of the enemies on the stage.
Oh, cool.
We're just like flying around. Like there's this enemy that jumps really high. And then it turned us into giant versions of it. And you just blast up like hundreds of feet in the sky instead of like, you know, the normal jump that you do. And it's like, and then they never repeat it. And then it's like, well, that was fun. Okay, we'll never do that again. Here's the next one, you know?
I mean, that's classic Mario, right? They just throw great ideas at you a mile a minute. And you're just like, whoa, wait, that was amazing.
You're right, though, because it's not just the... It's not just a great idea in the context of, the rule set of the game. There are things that do change the rule set. Like, again, I really like that level where, because what you're doing is it's still 2D, but instead you're top down and Mario and team are walking on the back wall of the level.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
And so then I realized, hey, how come I can't go? And it's like, oh, right, there's a hole in the back wall. And I can't get over the gap because I'm stuck to the back wall. That's why I can't get over here. And so it's just, they're breaking the 2D side-scrolling mechanics and making it a top-down 2D game in the middle of everything to just kind of as a, you know, ad hoc game mechanic. And then you get your thing and then you do it. And then in the next Wonder Seed, there's like a herd of wild bulls that you have to ride to the end.
Yeah, that one was super fun. I like that. Yeah.
And again, I think the transgressive thing works because what happens in that level is you get to the flag and then the herd of bulls destroys the flag and you keep going.
Oh, yes. And yeah, there's a world where I don't even know what happened. There's like an enormous snowball that you're riding.
Yes.
And it also sort of destroys it. But then the flag's just attached to it, like Katamari Damacy style.
Yeah.
And like towards the end of it, it circles back and I'm like, do I touch that flag? Like, what is going on? And what's so amazing about it, right, is... these are opt-in challenges in the same way that some of the hidden stars have been, but there's this anticipation and desire, right? I am driven to find this because I want to see what is it going to be. Yeah. And then I have this high degree of anticipation because I'm also like, all right, there's no way to prepare. I don't know what the fuck is going to happen. Like, it's going to be somewhat tied to the world I'm in, I'm assuming, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's one of the only way, in fact, it's the only way to get the sort of added special star. And so there's a degree of excitement and like almost apprehension right before touching one of them, right? Yep. Which adds to this degree of a reward for getting it. Like the reward is also just another challenge and another reward. It is just a really like wonderful experience to have inside of your world that's above and beyond just here's the cool doodad that you want that it hid somewhere special, right?
Yes. Yeah. 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 I mean, to your original question, I mean, it seems like, you know, to your point, Nintendo has never shies away from just walking away from an established game series or an established mechanic or whatever. Like they, for a company that is so like aesthetically precious, they're kind of ruthless when it comes to game mechanics. They're like, yeah, we're just not going to do that thing in Zelda anymore. We're just going to do it this way now. And they do that with Mario all the time where it's like, yeah, Super Mario Galaxy, those were fun. We will never do them again. You know, it's like, it's just kind of brutal about it. But I mean, they made a ton of those new Super Mario Brothers games. I mean, that was the dominant Mario aesthetic for a long time. And I would be satisfied if they made a couple more of these types of games, just to see where they take it. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is just another in a long series of ad hoc Mario games that they put out.
And like the third Super Mario Brothers Wonder, you get a Wonder Seed and suddenly it's a first person photorealistic Duke Nukem, like, you know, first person Mario. He's like a restaurant. He wakes up and he's just like a genuine Italian plumber and you have to solve puzzle plumber problems.
It becomes a you know, a visual novel or whatever of, you know, Mario depressed in Brooklyn. I mean, like,
yeah, just like, I mean, you could take it places.
I mean, it's just, the funny thing is, though, is that, like, for as far as they take it, they still give themselves the boundary of this is, at its core, this is a running from left to right, and there's a flag at the end. And then everything else that happens in between, we're going to mess with, but these are the boundaries that we'll give ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's
sometimes
like,
we'll move that flag.
I mean, yeah, we'll move the flag, but you'll still end at a flag. Sometimes we'll roll up the flag or blow it up or do a weird stuff or you'll be giant or whatever. But like, you start at the left, you end at the right, and everything that happens in the middle, that's what we're going to mess with.
Yeah, which is it's just cool. Kind
of a fascinating way of like giving themselves a boundary in which to work in.
Yeah, I'm really hyped on this game, actually. I'm just really having a lot of fun with it. And it's so surprising because, like you, I didn't really watch much of the trailers at all. Like, I was just going in blind. I'm kind of surprised because, to me, it didn't feel like the marketing for this game was hot and heavy. Like, it was a pretty late announcement in the year.
Yep.
There's been a lot of other games. I'm sure ad buys are expensive these days as a result. And so maybe they just didn't spend much money. I did see they bundled the Switch with the Super Mario Brothers Wonder. So there are versions out there, which is kind of nice.
Smart.
For people, for people who are like picking it up. But yeah, I was kind of surprised that a game of this quality dropped, and to me, in a way that to me was kind of a surprise.
Totally. And I mean, it's also, if you put this in the context of the Nintendo Switch, I mean, this has to be one of the last big games, first party games we get for the Switch. I mean, you know, we just talked about this a few weeks ago where, you know, Nintendo was hinting that probably they're going to be ready to have new hardware next year. And it's a nice culmination of a lot of things that they'd been working on. And in my mind, a nice send off to, it's a nice bookend because they started the Switch with Mario Odyssey and they're ending it with this game essentially. And you know, both of them, I think, meaningfully moved the series and in some ways, like the genres that they live in forward. It's surprising that they waited so long. I mean, maybe this was the plan all along, but I think, didn't they just announce this game this year? I mean, it was,
they did. Yeah. This year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just sitting on something that, could seemingly become the next new Super Mario Brothers. It's just another classic baffling Nintendo decision, but I mean, I guess here we are.
Yeah. What does Sam think of it?
He loves it. I mean, all like when he goes to bed at night, he says, "I can't wait to see what happens in Super Mario Wonder tomorrow." Like, he's just obsessed with it.
Oh, that's so cute. And like, me too, kid.
I mean, yeah, I feel the same way, and it's fun playing with him. Like, I'm probably gonna let Abby play it actually because again, the multiplayer is more forgiving in some respects because you're not gonna crash into somebody. And you can just kind of hop around and you can do the Yoshi stuff. But I mean, yeah, I mean, he came home, you know, they asked them to do like little, you know, hey, write a little story or whatever. And of course, like his thing was a Super Mario Wonder thing. And like his little story that he wrote was about getting a Wonder Seed. So,
I mean, here we are. Yeah, even that is such a cool idea, right? Because again, if you're a little kid, the idea of getting a Wonder Seed is like, oh, anything can happen, right? Yes. Like there's a sort of the creative juices flow, right? Because you could easily see assigning Sam a little bit of like homework of like, hey, I want you to come up with a story of what happens when you touch a wonder. Like exactly. what way does the world change around you?
Yeah, what would you do if you designed one, you know?
Yeah, like it's such a cool idea because you take the theme and the aesthetic of the place that you're in and then just transform it, right? And that is the quintessential act of play that little kids do with their imagination all the time, right? Yeah. Like, oh, what if this is a dog actually, you know? And suddenly so it is, you know?
Yeah. It's pretty special, and I'm interested to see, and like I said, I'm probably a third or 40% or something through, like, you know, we've done a few worlds so far, but if this is anything like other Mario games, there's going to be a lot of kind of opt-in
challenges and stuff, later on,
After the, you know, the initial kind of run through the levels, and there's a bunch of other, and I'm just, it's weird because, I really like seeing every single level because who knows what's going to happen. And Sam is like just jumping around, you know, it kind of drives me nuts, but it's a good like exercise in patience. Yeah.
I do all the levels in a world before I move on. Cause it doesn't sit with me.
Yeah. I do that same thing. Cause I want to see all of the environments. I want to just like, but Sam's like, no, we got to go here. Oh man, we have 14. Let's unlock this. And he's just like running around like crazy between levels and stuff. But I mean, it's also just a good way to test the boundaries of the game. And it's something that I didn't realize till we had been playing it, but this game is kind of unique in that you get into the world and then you do the games and or the levels in whatever sequence, which is again kind of rare for a 2D Mario game. Like it just kind of drops you into the hub and then you do whatever instead of like linearly going through stage by stage and following the track. But yeah, I mean I'm gonna play a ton more of this game. I'm excited to see what is in not only what is in the game but what is in every single level and then what is in every single Wonder Seed. Like there's just like multiple levels like there's novelty to go through in this game.
Dude, I feel like your top three games of the year list is just gonna be all like Nintendo games.
It's wild. It's gonna be so wild at the end of the year. I mean, like there's just so like
I already think that my list I think calling it now, I think there's a chance that our lists don't have any games that are the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been such a diversity of of games out there and you know, all kind of, I don't know, all different and all like going for something different just from like a genre perspective too. I mean, anyway, and you know, great to see a new Mario powers. Great to see the internet going crazy about Elephant Mario. Abby is extremely amused by Princess Peach Elephant. So mission accomplished,
Nintendo. Hey, so was I.
Yeah. All right. I guess we'll leave it there for this week. We'll probably check in on, I mean, we'll check in on Mario every once in a while, especially after as we see some of those other stages. But experiencepoints@gmail is the email address.
And experiencepoints.net is the website. You can find all of our wonderful episodes wherever you find podcasts. Do us a favor, spread the good news.
All right, everyone. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao.